charities, which also run food banks as part of their operations, are seeing a big increase in demand for these services, particularly after the wage subsidy has ended. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul is one of the smaller organisations offering help to those in need. And their Auckland General Manager, Delphine Sotti, says there is a second peak of people needing food packs right now. And Delphine joins me now. Hello there.
Hello there, Jesse. Sorry, my name is actually Delphina.
Delphina, sorry about that. Welcome.
No worries.
Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for taking some time out in a busy afternoon. Can we get a bit of perspective about the need for food packs from your organisation? What was it like pre-COVID?
So I'm just speaking on behalf of our little sector here. Our food bank here in Gundry Street in the central area it was about 50 to 120. And when I say 120 per week, that's including like Christmas season. But now, during COVID at its busiest time, we were doing anything from 720 to 1,000 per week. And so now we've leveled out again now to about 500 a week. So I understand across New Zealand with our St. Vincent de Paul, it's doubled as well, right throughout New Zealand, and with a lot of networking food banks throughout Auckland. In the meantime, now it's doubled as well.
What is driving that demand?
So food insecurity, it's the procurement of food. People have lost jobs. There's a huge amount of job loss at the moment. The cost of housing is still the same, if not going further up. So it's mainly around how much people have in terms of discretionary income. So it's still being driven up. We understand that pre-COVID, food insecurity in New Zealand was around 10 to 12%, and it's often not spoken about. There's more publicity that's come to food insecurity during COVID, with the government getting involved to fund a bit more to ensure that people become food secure. But now with COVID hitting, we realize that number has doubled again. So that's why our intake and our procurement has to go up in order to make sure these people are looked after.
So I described it as a second peak. Is that what's happened? It went up, up, up in lockdown, and then did it come back a bit post-lockdown?
Yeah, it went up, 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 and people were in shock. And, you know, lockdown four was quite extreme because people couldn't access, you know, supermarkets, even the most vulnerable people who usually depend on others to assist with getting them food. They were on lockdown as well. So it peaked, it went right up, and then it leveled, and now it's starting to climb again. And it climbed for Auckland around the second lockdown. So we're coming back down again with our figures, but still it's beyond double at the moment.
What's causing the second rush?
The second rush, well, people are actually living into the job loss now. Like before, we had the subsidies and they've kind of worn out now. They're finished, and people are living into job loss. People are living into decreased hours. With young people and, you know, the kids going back to school, there's costs around transport as well, and they're living into that. There's also, with Christmas coming, you know, there's also that pressure as well on families, and some would like to put away a little bit. Like I spoke to somebody who came and used our food bank yesterday, and she's trying to put aside $20. I think they've been affected by job loss, but she's trying to put $20 in. That's the item, that's the money that usually goes on food. So people are trying to figure out how to fend over the next couple of months.
What sort of difference does a food pack make?
Ideally it's not the be all and the end all, but it does make a significant difference. Like over here, we try and ensure that families of four have at least 3 kg of meat to last them an entire week. A box of fish produce, and then a box of dry goods as well. It makes a world of a difference to these families. It just means that they don't have to spend that $50 or that $60 on food. It just means that the kids will have lunches in their lunch boxes when they go to. It means that they can access part-time jobs and have the gas to go to their jobs. There's so much stigma around poverty and food insecurity that people are not talking about, and they're suffering silently. A lot of them are.
And what sorts of people? All sorts? Is it a diverse sort of group of people that you deal with?
Yeah, so we deal, like pre-COVID, we were dealing with a lot of people who were referred to us by agencies, the people who have fallen through the cracks. So there's mental health, there's also those who have been out incarcerated and come out. But that's the typical population that people often think are attached to food banks. And what they don't see is that pre-COVID, we had more and more working families coming through, and this is across the board, people who whose rents were going up, and then they had to come in just for a top-up here and there. Right now, with our current population who are coming in, there is a huge increase from our Pacifica families, especially those who are employed around the airport in those areas. What we're finding with our Pacifica communities especially is that pre-COVID, there were these findings that they had in 2008 and 2009 that said that they were the most food insecure population, but something about COVID, I think it freaked us all out, and there was no other way to collectively survive and maximize their resources with their communities to actually procure the food. So we're finding more of them coming through. We're finding our nationals, our people that can't get back home. There's a huge proportion of those people coming through for food support. And a lot of our working families who have been affected by job loss are coming through as well. One finding that we found is that probably only 30% of the pre-COVID database is coming back, which is quite interesting because we were expecting them to come back more, but it's a lot of new people coming through now.
Huh. So, just to understand that stat, so 3% of the people you're seeing were the same people as you were seeing before COVID?
So pre-COVID we had a general population that were coming through, a lot of people who were on their benefits and solo mothers and who were coming through regularly because what they receive from the government is just not enough for them to sustain their livelihood. So they come here for an extra. We had some of these people on long term until they accessed maybe work and other funding grants. But we're finding that they've diminished in our numbers now, and we've just been having a few conversations to find out what that's about. And we start to realize how resilient these people actually are. So when COVID came and then there was a subsidy and there was a bit of food and there were more food banks around, they came back and said they were okay, that there was more resource in the community than ever before, and they were happy to access it locally wherever they could.
Okay. And speaking of other charities doing similar things to you, are you in touch with them? Do you ever work together?
Yeah, so there's a lot of networking going along at the moment. We like to think that we're all in this together, and so we do a lot of networking with our Auckland City Mission around the corner and the Presbyterians around the corner here with their food bank. Networking with Kiwi Harvest have been a great help to us, and so has Auckland City Mission. And so there's other lots of NGOs that we're networking with. Pre-COVID, and we have this on our data bank too, and I'm just looking at it. Pre-COVID, we only networked because we're quite small with another 25, but then during COVID, that's when we all kind of pulled together. And I'm looking at a database of over 150 different NGOs and little food banks, food procurement that we were actually working with during COVID, and social services as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of them out there and doing some really awesome work, so shout out to them too.
Yeah, and a lot of them doing it without anybody really knowing about it, without much public profile. I understand that you offer a sort of holistic support as well as handing out food. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so Swimmers in Nepal is kind of it's really about accompanying people. They have this ethos, which is really about kanohi ki te kanohi, which is the face-to-face. We really believe that the nature of the relationships and healthy relationships that are kind of what upholds the community. It underpins the health of an organization or a society. So we put a lot of that into our mahi here, being a faith-based organization as well. What we do in our schools, and you probably heard about the Young Vinnies or the Vinnies Youth right throughout New Zealand, there is a program that has been run for over 10 years now, and there's thousands of young people involved. You're probably talking to a lot of young people that have gone through it and now young professionals ask for it. So this program, we highlight different aspects of different social awareness programs. There's ones about why are people food insecure? So we've been running a food security program in schools. running programs around social exclusion and why are people lonely and why is our society, why people are suffering silently. So attached to these, so there's many other themes. So attached to these programs are youth workers who go into the schools and have groups called Vinnie's groups where they talk about these injustices in our communities, and they come up with understanding, well, they try to understand what the social drivers are for these things and what can they do in response. So at a very early age, we start talking about kindness and empathy and compassion for one another. And then they're given an opportunity to respond wherever they are, however old they are. And it's a youth worker's, youth coordinator's job to actually assist them. And our older members come on board for this too. So say for instance, here in Auckland, there are 16 colleges involved. We're moving more into state schools now. There's roughly close to 2,000 young people who are part of this program. And pre-COVID, they were doing their services. They were doing working in the food bank. They were creating hot meals for people who were in transitional housing. We had volunteers going into prison every week. And so just to give you an idea, like last year, I think they tallied close to 50,000 hours of volunteer work. And these are all young people. So we work on this ethos of we need to remember that we belong to each other and in everything that we do. So it's Mother Teresa's words that we've coined that off, is that wherever there is poverty and food insecurity and violence, it's because we've forgotten as people that we belong to one another. And so we really drive that with our young people, and that comes from our organization, you know, Centers and Board, really giving that into us as well as a value. So what happens is that part of the program with the food insecurity, aside from the food parcels going out, there's different sites that our volunteers go and deliver food to, but it's really about a positive socialization kind of program where they get to know the people. We understand that a lot of people who have fallen through the cracks find it really, really hard to connect to others or even to seek help from the services around. So it's building that trust again. We benefit, our young people and our volunteers benefit significantly from these relationships. They become better people, they become kinder people, and you often hear a lot of stories of transformation within their own lives, that they understand that there's more to what they see in their own world. So that's a little bit about how we kind of do this in a holistic way.
Thank you for your time today. What do you need, Delphina, from your perspective?
So we just need more people to know that we're here. Society of St. Vincent de Paul are running a national appeal. Just Google svdp.org.nz. It's all up there. If you want to know what we do here locally, if you want to volunteer, just Google us, Vinnie's Auckland. You can find us here and pop down and see what we do. And we're happy to have you.
Lovely. Nice to chat to you today. I really appreciate it. Delphina Sorti from St. Vincent, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, talking about some of the work and some of the extra work and need that we're seeing in New Zealand now, post-COVID-19 lockdown.